A long pause in the dark, they could hear the faint drone of cars on the turnpike. "For now," he added.
"Oh," she said in a small voice. "Good."
His hand on her breast, his breath on her neck. After some endless time that might have been an hour or only 5 minutes, his breathing lengthened, and she knew he had gone to sleep. She was pleased and disappointed at the same time. A few minutes later, she went to sleep herself, and it was the best rest she'd had in years. If he had bad dreams of his gone friends, he did not disturb her with them. When she woke in the morning, it was 8 o'clock, and he was standing naked at the window, looking out through a slit he'd made in the curtains with one finger.
"Did you sleep?"
she asked. "A little. Will we go on?" 15. They could have been in Manhattan by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the drive into the city on a Sunday would have been far easier than during the Monday morning rush hour. But hotel rooms in New York were expensive, and even doubling up would have necessitated breaking out a credit card. They stayed at a Motel 6 in Harwich, Connecticut instead. She took only a single room, and that night he made love to her. Not because he exactly wanted to, she sensed, but because he understood it was what she wanted. Perhaps what she needed. It was extraordinary, although she could not have said precisely how. Despite the feel of all those scars beneath her hands, some rough, some smooth, there was the sense of making love to a dream. And that night she did dream. It was a field filled with roses she dreamed of, and a huge tower made of slate-black stone standing at the far end. Partway up, red lamps glowed. Only, she had an idea they weren't lamps at all, but eyes.